Previously on Extra Life Radio.
Whoa, am I loud? Am I loud? What's going on? I can see we're in for some awesome sound quality. What are you doing, you sweaty man?
In Colombia, doors, they behave like they're supposed to.
Was it all that it could have been, and are you enjoying yourself?
I don't remember saying half that crap.
Down there to the Cuban prison. Yeah. When a door says pull, you push. Can you explain that?
Oh, the flight is 3 days, 4 hours, and 23 minutes.
Penis monkey, message ends.
His penis is on the outside.
I'm not a dude, Scott.
So you're the guy that shouts dildo. Nobody wants to lick him.
I don't want to go back to Cuba. I don't want to go back.
Whew. I'm sweaty in here. I'm hot.
I can't believe we've done it this many.
Oh my gosh. Listen to Brian breaking down like a little girl.
This is Extra Life Radio.
This is Jenny Breeden. I am the Devil's Panties, and you're listening to Extra Life Radio.
Hey, everybody. Hey, one and all. Hello, you. Yeah, that's you I'm looking at. This is Extra Life Radio, episode number 151. This is the official podcast of MyExtraLife.com. I am a Scott Johnson. I am a Scott Johnson. You like it a sauce? I make it more a sauce. Sorry. Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is show number 151, and today is September 11, 2007. I just minimized something I shouldn't have while I'm doing that. Brian, welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, how's it going?
Pretty good.
You're watching us, say?
I'm discombobulated.
That sounds very voyeuristic.
It is. So is this Ustream chat we're in right now. It is an interesting day because we do not seem to have Obsidian with us. We think maybe there was a power outage or a powder outage. Could have been some powder problems. Talcum powder, maybe he's chafing. We don't know. We just don't know. But we do know that we miss him terribly.
We miss him. We missed him last week too, so.
I know. Well, technically he was on the phone, but
That
phone sucked.
Yeah.
Or Skype sucks. Skype kind of sucks at connecting to cell phones, I found, at least sound quality wise. So what are you going
to
do? It's just the way
I would hate to be on the other end. I'd hate to be on a cell phone while doing that. That would just totally suck.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
As if.
Whatever.
Whatever. What the crap was that?
I don't know. I'm losing it. I'm trying to just keep all my P's and Q's in the same... I can't even think of how that should end, so forget it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome
just
to those...
Just keep your P's and Q's in your pants, man. That's
yourself.
All I got
to
say.
Exactly. Welcome to those who are in the chat room. We have a decent size and growing group in there, about 130 people. Yeah, a whole bunch of them. And hello, everyone. There's a lot of cool people in here, such as, I always like to do this, Big Tuna, Bad Fish. They may actually be the same people. It's like Clark Kent and Superman. You never see them in the same place. Big Tuna, Bad Fish. We got Captain Canuck. He's been on a few times. Chug-a-Lug, Lazy, Library Punk, Moomin Biscuit, Mooby. I have two of those.
Mooby. Library Punk. I think he just signed it for my website.
Could have been. Whole bunch of Ustreamer people, Joe Kill, Skibs. Anyway, I didn't mention everyone. Of course, Seamus and Old Man Franks are in there. It couldn't be a show without them. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. All those who are there, I hope you enjoy yourselves, and let's just move right on. Now, if O does join, if he hops into Skype, and kind of keep your eyeball on that, Brian, could you just set your eyeball over there and watch your Skype?
Let me turn my monitor back on. All right.
Oh, don't do that. I'll keep an
eyeball.
Oh,
my God. Seamus22 is spamming the crap out of me.
That's a shock. I can't believe it. I can't believe that would be true.
All right.
We'll wait around for O. If he pops in somehow through the grace of the Colombian government, we will add him to the chat and off we go with Obsidian as per normal. As per normal. I don't think my levels are right. As per normal. As per normal. Okay.
That sounds like a word.
I know. It starts to sound wrong after a while. Yeah. As per normal. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Enough of that. We have a lot to talk about today. Can we play a couple of calls, Brian? Are you all right with that?
Oh, I am so excited about listening to some calls because I never get to hear them.
Yeah, you don't normally.
No.
And you may not now either, but let's play
them
anyway.
Not until the show. Then I have to fast forward through everything.
True. I want to play one that I just thought was really nice. We don't often get to play something on here that's really nice. Usually it's sarcastic or it's something mean.
We haven't gotten one of those in a long time. Just somebody kept calling us saying, hey, guys, I really like the show.
Yeah. Doesn't happen very often. Yeah. Well, this is even nicer than that. I never say it right. Tolwyn, whatever it is. He's contributed before. We've chatted by email a lot of times. He had a significant event in his life and thought he would send this in. Check it out.
Good evening, Scott, Brian, and O. This is Tolwyn calling in. I know it's been a long time since I've submitted anything, if you guys can remember the last time I submitted something. It's been a long year, and if it's okay with Scott, I'd like to dedicate this call-in to my dad, who passed away last weekend. My dad purchased for me and my brother Pong back in 1976, a Commodore 64, an Atari ST, a Mac Classic, and possibly a few other game platforms that I might have stretched the truth on their academic applicability. He never really understood my affinity for computers, but was able to tell me after I graduated from college and was able to support my family with a job in computers, how proud he was that I stuck to my guns through this technology that he didn't understand. Anyway, Scott, I appreciate you letting me take this opportunity to dedicate this call to my dad. You guys have a good show, and I'll see you soon. Bye.
That was totally nice.
That was awesome.
Yeah, dude.
That was awesome.
And not only are we happy to do that, we're
you
sorry.
You gotta love the dad.
Yeah, you love the dads. Yeah. And A, we're sorry for your loss, and B, what a nice way to give tribute. So we're happy to play it. So thanks.
I love my moms. I love the moms, but my dad was the one who brought home our first Pong.
Yeah.
And he gave me a Commodore VIC-20 and a Commodore 64, and he's always had computer stuff.
Yeah. My dad, too. So, yeah. My dad would bring home all that stuff, and my mom would be the one that said, get the hell off of the Pong. So, they have this weird symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
Where one would bring us the Pong and the other would tell us to get off of the Pong. And for the record, I miss my dad too. He died way too early. So sorry, dude, to hear about that. And let's move on. We don't want this to be a sad podcast.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cool dad.
Happy
times. Happy, happy time. We have happy time. Okay, Brian, I'm a little out there. Can I give you... Can I just tell you something that's bugging the poo out of me?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, just quickly.
Do it.
I'm a big fan of old-time radio, okay?
Oh, yeah.
People have even heard me on this show do, the 40s voice, the whole,
40s,
the Nazis have broken back the Allied forces, blah, that whole thing. And you know how much I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And I listen every day to this internet stream channel called the Antioch Network, and it's basically just some AM station. I think it goes around the country, but... All day, every day, it's all 40s, 50s, some 30s, old-time radio. So the shadow and the stuff, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's great fun. I love it. The comedies are good. But here's what's just bugging the poo out of me. And this has more to do with, I don't normally complain about other people's eras. I usually just complain about my own, whatever it is I'm in.
Eras or eras?
Era, like E-A, no, E-R-A. S.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. All right, go ahead. I'm with you.
You're with me. All right. So I have a problem with eras. Specifically with these three eras. It seemed like the 30s through about the maybe early 60s, maybe even later than that, women were treated like crap. And part of this is, I've been watching that Mad Men show on AMC. Getting it digitally, of course, and legally, by the way. I get it off iTunes. And it's really good. It's all about this. It's 1960, and it's all about the ad world, and how it was all sort of
That's
changing.
Awesome.
It was really, it's really
this.
Pretty good. It's kind of a quiet little show, so it's not no action. There's no shoot. No one's shooting anybody, but it's just really good character and story and all this. Anyway,
what's this called again?
It's called Mad Men. It's really pretty good. Kim and I are kind of hooked on it, and it's good
and
summer.
How do I watch it?
Good summer TV because actually you can. There's two ways that I'm aware of. Three ways.
Yeah.
You can catch it on AMC. That's an American Movie Classics channel.
Yeah.
This is their original series. The creator and head writer is the former Sopranos Emmy-winning dude. So he's a good writer.
Yeah.
You can get it that way. You can get it on iTunes per episode or for the whole season. That's how we're doing it.
Yeah.
Or you can, BitTorrent it.
I thought you were going to say you could... hit your teeth and see if you couldn't knock that feeling out so that you can start picking up radio signals.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Like Gilligan did in that episode.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite episodes, by the way. I love that one. And the one with the Chinese guy that wasn't really Chinese, or some white dude acting like a Chinese guy, he was the ding he was the ding pong of the 70s. Anyway, and there were others, like the giant vegetables that gave everybody superpowers. Yeah.
And they always had those Fu Manchu mustaches. What was that all
they
about?
They did, dude. What the crap? And they just put heavy eye makeup on, and they'd squint the whole time. So bad. Anyway, that was so acceptable then, but that's a whole other issue. But it kind of, interestingly enough, that whole Gilligan effect has some effect on what I'm about to say. So I'm listening to these old-time radio shows, and just like this Mad Men show kind of depicts, the women are just kind of subspecies a little bit.
Yeah.
The men are just walking around, swaggering around with their cigarette hanging out of their mouth. And come on, Martha, we've got to hurry quickly. You're so freaking slow. Well, I'm listening to these shows just today. And there's this like horror one, or one of the whisperer, or the, not the whisperer. What's he called? The whistler.
Oh, the whistler?
The Shatner. Yeah, that's it. He, of course, comes from that time as well. But I'm listening to that, and these people are checking out some house, and the lady hears a voice. And this is how it goes. Oh, Bill, I don't know if I can go in there. It's a big problem. Blah, 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 blah. And the guy's like, come on, Martha. You need to calm down. Just take a pill and let's have a nap. They just...
Take a pill.
Like, the women are just these sub-treated... I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. But it's like that way all the way through it. They're always so helpless. And they need their big, strong men in their freaking suits to jump in and, you know...
Scott Johnson for women everywhere.
Listen, Phyllis, there's not a problem here. There's no ghost, don't you know? Now go back to bed. It's that kind of stuff. And she's all, I don't know, Bill. I think I'm going to freaking die. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out. There's been bugging me a little bit.
In that vein, it is typical of women to always get the men killed in those kind of movies anyway, because they always, they wait right until you're right in the middle of a fight, and then they yell your name, and you go, what?
Yeah.
And then you get killed, you know?
Yeah. I like the women of today. You know? I do. And I'll never forget what Homer said to Marge once when Marge was being carted off to prison. He said, honey, I'm going to miss you, and not just for the sex, but for the food preparation. I'll never forget that. Anyway, good stuff. Love The Simpsons.
That's awesome.
All right. Okay. A couple of quick more things, and then we're going to move on to some bigger things. Excuse me. we got another call from this weird service that leaves messages. And there's a hint that maybe we actually got two, but I can't find the other one. But there's a hint that maybe a semi-regular to the audio program here is maybe doing this. But you be the judge. Here's yet another call from these guys.
This is IP Relay Operator 9293 with the relay call and a message. Hello, Scott. This is your mom. Can you please tell Brian last night was amazing? And stop acting like a streetwalker trucker type. End of message. Thank you, IP Relay Operator 9293. Have a good day.
Dude, that's awesome.
That is so. I want to know how he got that. See, this is such a great relay operator because you can always get ones that are into it. But he really accentuated the amazing part. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah, and points to that guy for really
amazing.
Pushing it.
Amazing.
Yeah, he actually acted the thing out. Now, the other one, I wish I had it, but it was some lady calling to tell me to put a chicken up my butt or something. And this poor lady, she goes, this is such and such operator with the thing and the stuff, message for Scott Johnson. And then she pauses forever and then goes,
she goes,
you just stick a chicken up your butt. Thank you very much for using whatever. Have a good night. I mean, she was ticked. I think she wanted out. She wants out of this. You know, it can only end badly for her.
Bad career choice. If you don't like saying stupid things, then I guess the moral is don't become a relay operator because...
apparently it's trouble.
Apparently it sucks.
That's what we've learned. Anyway, that was kind of funny. I just had to play it. And then one last thing. I guess there's actually a tiny bit more. I'm going to tell you this real quick. I don't know if you've heard of it before. Apparently nobody's listening, and that's why it's called that. But there's a podcast called Nobody's Listening, which you can find at nlcast.com. James over there has actually been on the show via a kind of last-second call, one of our little call-ins at the end of the show. Yeah. And he's been a big fan for a while, claims that I'm his inspiration. I think he's full of it.
Lies.
He's just saying that to get me on this show.
Yeah.
But anyway, he invited me on his show, which I was already a fan of. I really liked it. And he had me on, and we had a great time. If you want to hear my Best Buy story, you got to go over there and listen to it. If you want to hear my childhood urine sample story, you have to go over there and listen to it.
Oh.
I'm not retelling them here because A, I don't want to tell them again, and B, they were told best. They were told best the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
So go
and
check
it hurts
it out.
A little bit too much. Yeah,
it really does. I can't do it again. I really can't.
Yeah.
Best Buy was definitely the jerk of the moment, and I expressed that over there. So check them out, nlcast.com. And James is awesome and does a great job. And he even sings a song. At the end, I may play a piece of that at the end of the show. We'll have to see. If you people are good, we may do that. And then lastly, but not so lastly, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Nice title.
Yeah, that's the new title, dude.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That's an actually pretty long title right there.
I know. I saw a lot of people I saw a lot of movie workers going, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I have to spell that on the freaking board.
Yeah, what do you think about that? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I am wondering if, well, to me it's not as bad as Phantom Menace, and it's not as bad as, like,
yeah,
the Attack of the Clones. That was a stupid name. but I'll tell you a longer, well, you want to hear a longer movie name, though?
Yeah.
Before I interrupt you one more time?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you tell me. What were you going to say? I keep interrupting you.
Oh, sorry. No. Go ahead.
I'm doing O's job. When he's not here, I interrupt you.
That's okay.
All right.
What I was going to say was,
yeah,
I was going to say, shut up. And I was going to actually say, it's a shame because the first three Indiana Jones movies really had great titles.
Oh, yeah, dude. They all did.
So,
even Temple of Doom.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. That is awesome. Temple of Doom. Incredible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, The Last Crusade was a little misleading, but yeah, it was still a good title. Yeah.
Since it actually wasn't Crusade.
Yeah, it's kind of like the final frontier in Star Trek movies. You thought that was going to be it? Nope. That was just the last one Shatner was allowed to direct, and that was it.
Yeah. Allowed to direct.
I'll say this, though. I'm pretty excited about it, and you guys should keep your eye on tomorrow's Extra Life comic. It is directly related to the naming of the new film, and I had a blast with it, so you want to check that out. Maybe if the chat room's nice and doesn't spam the hell out of us, I'll give them an early peek before the end of the show.
I'm assuming it's going to be about a crystal skull.
Yeah. Not really.
You don't think so?
It has more to do. I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with a giant yellow bird. And that's all I'm going to say. the only title this year that's been announced that's any longer than that one is this one. It is a new film about the assassination of Jesse James. The full title is, and this stars Brad Pitt apparently and some guy I've never heard of, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. That's the title. Good times.
Oh,
good
times. Already then?
Yeah, good times.
Good times.
Casey Affleck is Robert Ford. That's why he looked kind of familiar. Anyway.
Very interesting.
Ben Affleck's better acting brother. That's the truth. Any hoozits, there you go. So there's a bit of some of the things I wanted to cover today. There's other crap that if we have some time at the end of the show, maybe we'll hit specifically things about Bioshock 2, Worms Open Warfare 2, and my conscience, which apparently comes in the form of a Hotmail email address. It's a long story. We'll see if we get to it. All right. Brian?
Yeah?
Should we do this?
And now, a visit from Brian's Pile.
Okay, this is more like a Brian's obsession, but I still haven't done an intro for that.
Yeah, no, so it's just going to continue to be Brian's Pile until that point.
Probably. I think people like it. I think people like the term Brian's Pile. I mean, let's ask the chat room. Do you guys like Brian's Pile or Brian's Obsession? Let's have a quick vote. Oh, Pile.
Well,
everyone's saying Pile.
Yeah, well, yeah, but this isn't real. The thing is, the things I'm doing lately doesn't really have to do with any type of software or anything or Pile, so I don't know.
Well, Pile can be anything, dude. Pile,
I guess,
can be
so.
The big dude.
Well, right. Anyway, I'm glad people can benefit and enjoy from my obsessive compulsive disorder. It's nice to know.
This is a great way to channel it because if you're going to have the problem anyway, you may as well
do
it here. So tell people what your current obsession is.
Hey, these past 2 weeks, actually, I guess about a week and a half, really, I just kind of got an urge. I said, you know what? I miss those 80s movies that I saw when I was a kid, and I really want to share them with my kids before they get too old and they go, Dad, these are lame. So,
All right.
Which I was afraid they was going to do anyway.
Yeah.
Actually, I seen these movies probably when I was older than my kids are now, but, you know, kids are more sophisticated now and
So these are films from your childhood. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're films from my childhood, too, that I really liked. In the next coming weeks, I've also downloaded a whole bunch of movies that I was not allowed to watch during the 80s, such as like Sleepaway Camp and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So I want to go back and catch those. But this week, I want to talk about movies I actually saw and have a fondness for from when I was growing up. And two of my favorites were kind of sci-fi, fantasy, kids movies.
Oh, very nice.
And the first one was Explorers, and the second one is going to be Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, yeah, and, dude, Flight of the Navigator. Now, you got to understand, my memory of these two movies is pretty rusty.
Yeah.
The Explorers, wasn't that a bunch of Ford cars that went on a trip? They were talking cars?
Now, see, the thing is, Scott's just a few years older than me. Not much. Just a few years older than me. And I think I was about 13 when these came out, so I was just at the tail end of, you know, still watching these kind of movies.
Yeah.
Before, you know, I would say, okay, those are just too kiddie, because my wife loves this movie. What's it called? Monster Squad.
Oh yeah, I remember Monster Squad. Yeah.
And see, I was probably about 15 or 16 when that came out, so I was kind of a little bit too much of a teenager to go, I'm not going to watch that. So I'm not going to go watch a bunch of kids who are 13 do something.
Well, how old were you in? Like 1987, 87, how old were you?
87, that would have been 15.
Oh, so you're only 2 years younger than me.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm just a few years younger than you.
Yeah. That's the year I graduated high school. That was a hell of a day. All right, well, that's cool. So let's talk about the first movie. The first one you mentioned is The Explorers. Or is it The Explorers or just Explorers?
It's just Explorers, because I always want to say The Explorers also, but it's actually just Explorers.
Who's in it?
And, in this flick by what's his name, Joe Dante, who directed it, we've got Ethan Hawke, who plays the main character, Ben, and you got River Phoenix, who of course has passed away since then, and Jason Presson. And actually, this was the first movie that River Phoenix starred in.
This was his first film. I thought his first movie was that other one with the thing and the thing that they had to do. I don't remember that.
Well,
name.
I don't know.
But Ethan Hawke, is this Ethan Hawke's first movie?
I believe so. I believe those are both their first movies. And there's also Jason Presson.
Who's he?
Apparently, he's done a few things, but I kept thinking in my head that he was Samwise Gamgee. I kept thinking in my head for some reason, because it kind of looks similar in my memory.
Rudy. You thought he was Rudy.
What's that now?
You see, he thought he was Rudy. Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
He actually did a few other things.
See, the thing is that he had auditioned for that part, so I think they're either very similar, but he had decided to go with the Goonies. I don't know if he had auditioned for that particular part, but he had auditioned for Explorers.
Well, it says here, I'm looking it up, Ethan Hawke was, for his very first film, it was indeed the Goonies, or excuse me, it was Explorers, 1985, and 88 he did Lion's Den, 89 he did Dead Poets Society, which I don't know why I put weird emphasis on dead, but anyway. Dead Poets Society, yo. So, and he looked a lot older than that, so he must have just was hitting the puberty when he did Explorers.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now this movie, if you've never seen this movie before, it's about Ben, who is Ethan Hawke, and he has a dream about this circuit diagram of the circuit board. And he runs over to, well, he actually walkie-talkies his friend, who is River Phoenix, who is Wolfgang, who is supposed to be the child genius of this movie.
Yeah.
And they put this circuit board together that he's dreamed about, that he's jotted down. And they hook it up to Wolfgang's computer.
Yeah.
And if you've got that clip number one.
I do.
From the modem, if you could play that now, please, Scott Johnson.
Could you ask me in a more formal manner next time? I'd really like that. Okay, here it is. This is Explorers clip number one about the modem.
I tied into my father's computer on the modem and filled in some details in your drawing. It's mostly guesswork. This is our circuit board, which calls for a terminal. So I used my computer, which is only a 128K, but that should be enough to find out what it does, if it does anything at all, which it probably doesn't. So, got it?
Makes sense to me.
Good. There's no sense in waiting. Are you ready?
Sure, I guess.
Okay, is the main voice kid, is that Ethan Hawke, or who is that talking?
The main kid that's talking is not Ethan Hawke, River Phoenix.
River Phoenix, all right.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke keeps going, uh-huh,
Not his ugly hair lip brother, Joaquin, right? We're talking about
yes.
River.
Okay. Oh, that's not nice. That's not nice at all.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help
but,
it.
But River Phoenix does play the nerdy geeky guy. And I just that part is so funny because that dates so many movies. If you're going to make a movie, I think back then it was kind of a novelty.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was very many people who were into computers heavily at that time.
No.
But now looking back, you know, everybody has a computer and everybody knows what the crap you're talking about. And it just seems so lame.
Yeah, but I'll have to give them a little credit. It almost sounded like they know what they're talking about there. You know what I mean?
Almost.
Yeah,
so
almost.
Close.
No, almost.
So close.
Not quite. Yeah, not quite like Sneakers, because that show nails it. But
yeah,
kind of close. Not too bad.
That was nice. All but anyway, cool. Back to the movie.
Yes, please.
After they build that circuit board, and they discover that it creates a force field bubble thing, and through an accident, they find out, what don't have my force field bubble thingy?
Well, is that like the official term of that item? I'm trying to find it in the list.
That's what I'm calling it, the force field bubble thingy.
All right. Sorry, go ahead.
Basically, what happens is they take that. Am I telling too much about the movie?
No, you might be, but you know what? Ethan Hawke is only a year younger than me. I just throwing that
hey,
out there.
You know what? You know what? Tough noogies, if you haven't seen this from 1985, spoiler alert, I'm sorry. How many more years do I have to wait?
No kidding, dude. If you guys don't know the end of this, tough. Well, there's like a decade buffer.
If
and
it's
then 22 you're out.
Years old, because that's how old it is. It's 22 years old.
Yeah. And Ethan Hawke is 47 years old.
Jeez. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, sorry, 37.
So anyway, what happens is they create this bubble thing, and they discover that if they get inside this bubble thing, that there's zero inertia. So they can they decide, hey, let's make a spaceship, and we can put this force field bubble around it. And so they do that. And on their first trip, they go to the very first location, which is going to be clip two.
Oh, well, let's play that now. And by the way, before we go to that clip, James Cromwell is in this one.
Is he really?
Yeah, he invented warp drive. Well, in Star
Trek. Oh, that's right. That's right. I mean, go ahead.
And he's the that'll do pig, that'll do guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the drive-in clip. Here you go, folks.
I can't believe this. We must be going over 100 miles an hour and I haven't even used 1/10 of our power yet.
Wow. Where should we go? Where's all the action on Friday night?
The drive-in.
Pleasure is my life. Pain is my pleasure. Now is the time for destruction.
That's hideous.
That is awesome. Hey, when I was a kid, where's all the action at?
Yeah, it was
at
in
the
that
drive-in. That's right.
That's true. I'll give you that. That sounded like, well, maybe you need a visual to match it up, but that sounded wrong. Something was up.
Yeah, now the special effects on that, the sound was supposed to be from some video game. Can you name it?
Let me think. Hold on. I'm going with Defender. No?
Defender? I don't know.
Am I right? I think it is Defender. We'll let the listeners decide. The chat room can't hear it, but when they do. And by the way, just so the chat room knows, if you can't hear clips, it's because you can't hear clips. I don't have a way to play those in there yet. I'm working on that, okay? So I am working on that, but we can't do it yet. That's why you got to come back. Listen to the show. That's what you got to do.
I found it in my notes. It's okay. Yar's Revenge. That's where they came from.
Oh, okay. Yar's Revenge.
Yeah. Yar's Revenge.
That wasn't that game with the big giant white devil head that flew around going, rrr, 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 rrr. What was that game?
That's the one.
Was that the game?
It was awesome. I think so, isn't it? Isn't that one?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Some Williams game.
I thought it was the big giant ship, and it was next to the whole big old color pattern thingy.
Oh, Eek the Cat said that was Sinistar that I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Who the hell knows? Anyway, sorry. It was a long time ago, dude. It's like 22 years ago. What do you expect?
It was an Atari video game, 81.
Yeah. Well, continue on. We have more. Now, what's this adjust me bit? You're going to tell me what that's about.
Yeah. This is where the movie goes wrong. See, up until now, it's been a very tender, emotional a movie about these kids
coming
who
out
are dealing with these these kid type problems, you know, such as one of them is in love with this girl, another one has a troubled life at home, another one has to deal with his crazy psychotic scientist dad. But at this point, if a movie can jump the shark, I don't know if you can really say how a movie can jump a shark within the confines of itself, but I think the movie does. And the movie when they actually they find out and discover that the aliens have been giving them these visions of these of this circuit board, and they're trying to get the kids to build this spaceship so they can come visit the aliens in outer space. That's
this clip coming up. They don't.
That's where this clip comes from. And the actor who is doing this voice is supposed to be the doctor that you were talking about.
James Cromwell. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll play that. There's no like sexual tension between these boys, is there?
A little bit.
No, I don't like that at all. I mean, you know.
No, there's not.
I like the ladies. Okay, here it is. This is titled Adjust Me.
Okay, now, I'd like a little assistance from the audience. If someone would like to come up here and help me, if anyone... You, son. Yes. Please, would you come on stage for just a minute, please? That's right. Right up here next to me. What's your name, son?
Ben.
Ben, where are you from?
Earth.
Anybody here from Earth? Earth, see? You got all the friends here today. Ben, I'd like you to do me a little favor, if you would. Would you do that? Ben, I'd like to improve my reception just a little bit. So would you raise my antenna for me? Not that one, Ben. Not that one. Back here.
Please?
Yes, that's right. All right, move it a little to the right. Down a little further.
Oh, hello, Dad.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Feels good. Better, Ben?
Okay, that's pretty good.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Well, get away, son. You bother me. Get away, boy. Off, off.
Kids. Kids all over the world, they only understand one thing.
Dude, the announcer guy, you're saying that's James Cromwell?
From what I saw in the trivia things, and by the way, I in researching these movies, I also went online, looked at a couple places. I've been to Retro Drunk a bunch of times, but some of the people over at Retro Drunk on the forums and stuff, they just kind of get on my nerves a little bit.
Why is that? What would you?
Offense to any. Well, it's just a bunch of people over there speaking leet speak, and that just gets on my nerves. This movie is the Roxers.
Are these these guys right here?
Jerk of the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, they're jerk of the moment.
Those kind of people. Now, that's not all the people, but there's just such a high ratio of people over there who seem to be like, you know, this is the Roxers and that kind of stuff, and talking all this lead speak, and it just makes me sick.
Yeah.
So I looked around for somebody else. I looked and I found fastrewind.com, fast-rewind.com.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a lot more mellow people.
Oh.
And it's a real fun site to visit. I think you ought to check it out. Actually, I talked to Scott because when I was there, I was on the forums. And I thought it was a lot of fun to look up and see, because people are looking for movies from their childhood, and they can only remember certain parts of it. And it was fun for me to go over there and look at it and try to figure out what movies they were.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and Scott said was going to start a little section in our forums, but an Extra Life. But
I haven't done it yet. I want to do it. And the reason is we know our fans know a lot of crazy crap.
Well, see, that's what makes it so cool.
Yeah, and even watching the chat room, dude, there's guys in here that are answering questions. I couldn't think of Sinistar. Somebody knew it right off the bat.
Yeah.
They're actually smart dudes, generally, our fans. Some of them are a little too smart.
Generally.
Some of them are just smart ass. Just kidding.
But anyway.
Anyway.
Let's
do a break. We'll do a break.
Okay, well, I wanted to say, let's play the clip, just one little clip.
Which clip was it? I forgot.
Number five. If you could play number five for me real quick, because this is so much my childhood, and this is part of the vernacular of from my childhood. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah, five. Hold on a second. We are experiencing technical. Here it is. Found it. All right, the greatest line from that entire film right here.
Smooth move, X-Lax.
There you go. Smooth move, X-Lax.
And to a 13-year-old, that was hilarious.
Well, it's a reference to diarrhea. And everyone knows, as a young lad, diarrhea is funny. It is funny. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're not just done here. It's not just Explorers, dude. We got one more movie to talk about. It's a retro-tastic episode of Extra Life Radio when our program continues.
Your parents know you're up this late.
Shout, shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on, I'm talking to you, so come on. Shout.
Hello, this is Smeagol, and you're listening to Extra Life Radio. Precious.
Ah! Ah! Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We're back. Thank you so much for continuing to listen and patronize us in so many ways. Brian.
Scott.
We still have no O. That's okay. I mean, we're missing O. We still don't have him. He's not on. He didn't get on. I'm worried. I'm a little worried. There's been some sort of coup, some kind of government thing. Shakira finally rose up with her army and took the place down. I don't know. First thing to go is internet infrastructure. That's always the way. But we will surely have no problem here in a minute. Okay. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just looking at my notes and talking at the same time, which is always dangerous. Brian, there's another film that came out in the 80s that you're hugely fond of.
The following year.
The following year, 1986 or 7 was it? Was it 6? Yeah, it was 86. That's correct. Tell us about this film.
This is actually a Disney movie. And it was pretty good. Fly the Navigator.
That was a Disney movie?
That was a Disney movie, believe it or not.
You're bringing me back up to speed here.
Yeah. Now, I kind of compared these two. Explorers is a little... I think the acting was a little less in Explorers, if you can believe that. If you've seen The Fly of the Navigator, you're going to be blown away by the fact that I'm going to say the acting was actually better in Fly of the Navigator.
Really? Than the other one? Than the Explorers one?
Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's a shock, because that last one was so freaking stellar.
The acting was freaking awesome. Yeah. But no. Fly the Navigator, have you ever seen it before?
No, yes, years and years ago. In fact, I'm guessing I saw it in 87 or 86, and I do not remember much about it, other than there was this like eyeball thing that would talk to him, kind of a puppet deal.
He
would fly away from home. When he finally came back home, I think his dad was like someone semi-famous, sort of. Howard Hessman was in it, I think, the guy that was Johnny Fever, and that's all I remember.
That's right. Wow, you remember a pretty good bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically what happens is the kid, the main actor, who really doesn't really do much of anything after this movie, he falls in a ravine, and he wakes up, and he goes back to his house, and his parents are gone, and there's somebody else living in the house. Well, he ends up getting to the cops. The cops find his parents, and you find out that it's 8 years later. Mm. So you get this 8-year span where he doesn't know what has happened.
Yeah.
And that's where clip number one comes in. His brother meets him at the hospital.
Rad.
That's right. I'm throwing the clip on you. That's right. This is a little bit of 80s speak.
Yeah, it's very rad, if you know what I'm saying. Here it is.
Yeah.
This is totally rad. I mean, you're my big little brother.
Like I said, the acting is stellar in this one.
Yeah, this is sweet. This is really sweet. Can I throw a little trivia out there before you tell us about our next bit?
Go ahead.
Paul Rubens.
No.
Known as the founder of that fine sandwich. It's been great since... Oh, no, I'm just kidding. He was actually Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
Pee Wee Herman did the voice of the Trimaxion, or Max, voice of that little thing.
Right. Yeah. And you totally blew my clip number 3 and number 4.
Oh, dude, did you have that already planned? See, that's why we do this to show from the seat of our punts.
That's right. That's so funny.
All right.
So yeah, go ahead and play clip number 3 and number 4 then.
You weren't going to talk about how Sarah Jessica Parker's in it, were you?
Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker's in it. She has just a small role. She's totally 80. She's only wearing one earring in one ear.
Yeah. And she's older than me. So take that, Sarah Jessica Parker, with your three names. Sheesh. Anyway.
But have you seen the ship? The ship for this thing is actually at the MGM studios.
Oh, you're kidding. What, the actual ship itself is there on display?
I'm supposed to some type of helium inflatable ship, because they had two different ships for the show. They had one that was for long shots, and they had one that was close up that was actually only part of a ship.
Yeah. I hear there's a decomposing hooker in it.
Yeah. The ship is awesome, though. I mean, really, for the time, I mean, it was awesome. Uh-huh. And if you watch the special effects, too, they actually have, the ship is kind of silver and almost like liquid metal.
Yeah.
And it can transform into this these different shapes.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. Yeah. I mean, it predates T2 by many, many years, and they didn't have any type of the computer generating capabilities was way, way nil compared to back in 1986.
Oh yeah, dude. Times have changed.
Oh yeah, dude.
Times have changed.
Dude, yeah. But anyway, let's play clip number 2 real quick,
okay.
And we'll talk about some more techno babble that they like to use in these movies from the 80s.
This says binary chode. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, binary chode. That is absolutely correct.
Okay, here it is.
It's transmitting in alpha waves with complex frequency patterns in them.
What's going on?
I don't know.
I know I fell.
The alpha waves are coming in at 12.78 cycles per second.
He's communicating directly with the computer in binary code.
How the hell is he doing that?
I have no idea.
That's awesome.
In binary code?
Binary code? Why, that's just a series of ones and zeros. What are we going to do, Phil? I don't know, Bill. I'm freaking out. Oh, that's a woman. Never mind.
I love it.
That's a great clip. Very nice. Yeah. And you're right about the acting. It just gets better and better.
Yeah. Well, really, the Explorers, it was hard. I didn't realize how much there's so little dialogue in the Explorers when I was going back through trying to find some good clips for the show.
Yeah.
And there was hardly 90% of it's music and them flying around looking in awe. Like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You sound like Yoda, by the way, right then.
What's that?
You sounded like Yoda.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I hate Yoda.
I know you love Yoda so much.
I don't hate Yoda. That's another thing, too.
You find him annoying, especially the new version of Yoda.
The new version. The old version. I love the old Yoda.
Yeah, the puppet was great. Nothing wrong with the damn puppet.
The puppet was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new Yoda, when he's action fighting Kung Fu Grip Yoda.
Kung Fu Grip Yoda, dude. That's the only way to fly. All right, so this Navigator number 3, this isn't our Paul Rubens one, is it? Or do you want to set that one up?
This is actually, I was going to let you play this one, then I was going to ask, hey, you know who that is?
Oh, crap.
And then you were supposed to say, no.
I was going to say, is it Richard Liberty, who played the role of Mr. Howard? Just kidding. All right, let's play it. This Navigator clip is 23 seconds of pure, unadulterated ecstasy.
I'm just a kid.
That is obvious. But your brain has been programmed with all appropriate star charts.
You mean that's why my brain has been coming up with all that stuff?
Yes. You are the Navigator.
That's Paul Rubens?
That's Paul Mall.
Well, he went under the name Paul Mall, but they say that was him. He just used a fake name. Well, that didn't sound nothing like him. I expected you're the Navigator.
Exactly. Sounded nothing like him. And that's where clip number 4 comes in.
All right. Hey, Mark's on the chat, says he's sending us a review for movies. That's nice. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, sir. Okay. Well, I could have had him on. What was I thinking? Well, it's because we didn't know if it was coming. And we still don't know. Is he here? He's still not here. Damn. Freaking. Yeah. That Mexican. What are we going to do with him?
Mexican. Oh, he's going to love that.
Argentinian. Whatever he is. Okay. Very nice. Now let's move on to the next one. Set that one up for us. What's this one about?
Yep. This is actually the one that I was going to say. Well, Scott, since the last one you couldn't figure out, listen to this clip if you can tell who the voice is.
Oh, all right. Well, let's try it. There's a little quiz. Pop quiz, everybody. Who is this guy? Pretend you haven't heard already. Here it is.
That's it?
That's it, Davey.
Davey?
If you want to learn to swim, you've got to jump in the water.
Don't forget to feed Bruiser. 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun.
Whoa! This can't be happening. I think I've gotten some stuff out of your head that has nothing to do with navigating this ship.
You sound just like a human.
No! That dumb dog will never learn to catch a frisbee.
You are an inferior species, you dumb dork.
Buttface.
Scuzz bucket.
Hey, well, if you're so perfect, what are you still doing here?
I told you, I blew a fuse when I totaled out that electrical tower. I was checking out some daisies.
You crashed while looking at flowers?
Ha!
Sounds like you're the inferior species.
Oh my gosh, that acting is bad. But yeah, that was basically a Pee-wee Herman ripoff there.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I said when I watched it, because I didn't realize it was Pee-wee Herman. And I was sitting down watching with the kids, and I'm like, they totally ripped off Pee-wee Herman, because I think Pee-wee's Big Top Adventure, wasn't it like 84, 85?
Yeah, it was late 80s, 85, 86, something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, so I was thinking, gee, they're using popular culture here, and they're just totally ripping it off. And I was totally offended. And then I got online, and I was like, Paul Mall, who the crap is that guy?
Yeah.
And, of course, it says alias Paul Rubens, which is, of course, Pee-wee Herman.
So. Yeah, that is Pee-wee Herman. So very interesting, dude. Very interesting.
Very interesting stuff.
Do you remember the film Runaway? Do you remember that? It had
Runaway.
Yeah, it had the guy. Help me, chat room. Who are the two guys
help
in it? Robert De Niro and the guy who.
The Running Man?
No, the guy. It was a comedy, buddy comedy sort of thing. Not Gene Simmons. Midnight Run is what I'm thinking of, so never mind. I got it wrong. I'm thinking of Midnight Run. It's not the same movie.
Midnight Run. Okay. Yeah, never mind.
It was Runaway, and I don't know what the hell that is. But he was in this little kid, whoever this kid is, in this Flight of the Navigator. Look what he's done since. He was on Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
A two-parter. Whoa. That was the same year.
Two-parter. Hold up.
In 86. Same year. Yeah. And then Stone Fox. Never heard of that one. 1987. Yeah, it was on TV. It played a guy named Willie. And then the next thing he did was all the way 10 years later, 1996, in an uncredited role as party guest.
Ouch.
Not good.
An uncredited role.
Not good. Ow. Not good at all. Oh, that poor kid. Anyway, poor kid. Now he's like, 34 or 5 or something.
34. Living with his parents. And he probably still makes more money than us.
He's probably wallowing in a pool of his own vomit right now.
But check those two movies out from the 80s. I think those are pretty good. Explorers from 1985 and Flight of the Navigator from 86. You're going to be sorely disappointed if you didn't see them when you were a kid. I do believe, because I don't think they translate very well.
Yeah, it's like most things. People that see Star Wars that never saw it as a kid, they think it's stupid.
Yeah,
you kind of need to be there, and I would agree with that 100%. I feel that way about Goonies. I feel that way about lots of 80s movies. You just sort of need to be there.
I love Goonies. Goonies but I can't imagine.
Goonies My had wife... Short Round in it.
Yeah, Short Round.
Your wife said what? What'd she do?
I don't think my wife liked it too much. She didn't see it when she was a kid, but I don't think she cared for it much for it. And I want to show it to my kids, but when I watched my wife, there was so much bad language in it. It was just amazing.
Goonies, Goonies was like one of those, if there was a PG-13, they'd have been pushing that.
Well, see, that's one thing I miss about the 80s. These two movies really bring back some fond memories. They both had, I think we tried to count and see how many bad words they said. There weren't too many in these two, so I let the kids watch them. Now, my wife watched the Monster Squad, and we come up with like about 12, and they were using words like faggot and that kind of stuff. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I think this may be the first time anyone's ever said that word on the show. I like it.
Oh, is it? Yeah, really? Will, like sorry.
No, it's so funny. I'll just forward the email to you. It's fine.
That's fine. No, but back then, it was like during the 80s, it was nothing to call somebody a faggot. I didn't really think, okay, you're gay and you prefer the company of other men. I thought, you're odd.
You're a jerk or something.
Different. You're a weirdo is what I always thought when I said faggot. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's
then I said rat faggot, and that... Whatever.
That helped. Put some vermin in there. Everything will be fine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool stuff. You can buy both these films on DVD, it appears. So looks like there's hope for you yet if you haven't seen these. It's almost like the crappy movie of the year episode. We had two major crappy movies that actually mean something to us.
I think maybe I should get you the movie so that we can maybe we can discuss them.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh yeah, because I got a few. I got in my head. I got the Dark Crystal.
Yeah. Oh, I have that one.
And you have that one. Good.
Yeah,
we can
if
watch.
We both
that
have
one.
It. We'll watch that, and we can make fun of that thing that hates so bad that that one puppet that made all the noise the time.
Yeah. I love that guy. And see, the funny thing is, it actually held up pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, dude, these guys in here mentioning names like The Last Starfighter is awesome.
Yeah. We need to watch that too.
I love that one with that guy that went anyway, the lizard guy with the bad laugh. He was great. The graphics were great. I just love the graphics. They were such good graphics. In fact, let's ask the question. Hold on. Boy, I haven't done it in so long. Let's ask the question. Here it is.
How were the graphics?
How were the graphics?
If you had to rate the graphics in Flight of the Navigator, Brian, what rating would you give it on a scale from 1 to 10?
Amazingly, I'd have to give it a pretty high rating, like around 8, considering the year that it was made. I mean, it was just...
Kind of holds up, doesn't
even,
it?
Even now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That movie totally holds up. I would say, as far as back to the one I brought up in the first place, I keep thinking Beastmaster because someone just typed that. Last Starfighter. Explorers. Last Starfighter is one of the first movies to ever use like full on CG in a movie back then, and it was pretty dang freaking amazing at the time.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks like somebody's hole now, but back then it was it was awesome. It was ten kinds of awesome.
It's so funny because blue screening, which looks great in a theatrical release, after they've copied it down a couple of times to VHS and then remastered it and put it back on DVD.
Yep.
the blue screen just always looks so horrible.
Oh, I know, dude. You can't even...
It looks so bad.
It's always bad. But what's worse is people who don't understand how to use our phone system. We have a question from somebody. I may as well play it now and we'll answer it. Here it is.
Hey, Scott. My name is Mike. I'm from Pennsylvania. I just have a real simple question. Every time I've tried to call into the show, whenever you do calls, basically all I end up getting is some voicemail message, and I have no idea how to actually get onto the show. So could you explain the process, or do you just call into the number, or what? I don't have a clue. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Or at least I keep telling myself that so I don't feel stupid. Thanks.
Okay, think of it as...
How do you get this message in?
Well, that's a good question. You actually guessed I let you left a message. But the way it works is when we do live calls, I set it up so that that voicemail service that I use through Grand Central, instead of just doing voicemails, will forward the calls to me. They will only forward one at a time, though. In other words, it's kind of like a call-in show where they only have one blinking button for one line.
Yeah.
And that's it. So and once I pick one up, the rest of you can keep calling,
almost,
but you keep going to voicemail.
It's almost impossible to beat out Old Man Franks anyway to the line. So,
dude, Old Man Franks has magic or something. I don't know what's going on. Dark magic with that guy. But yeah, it's not. It's actually just kind of a luck of the draw. Just keep calling, keep calling, keep calling when we do it. And it's really not that bad. So try it and try it again. See how you do. Okay, can I mention one thing about Worms Open Warfare 2?
Yes.
This is just a little video game segment. I got to get this out there. Now that we're so full of great, sort of meaty, nutritious information about bad 80s movies.
Yeah.
I went out, and it's a long story how I finally got the game. I finally got it today, but it has to do with that Best Buy thing, and that'll have to... You have to go listen to... Nobody's listening. Which sounds weird to say that. Go listen to Nobody's Listening. What? What the hell is he talking about? Worms Open Warfare for the DS. Open Warfare 2, I should say. The first game was kind of lackluster. Didn't really get a lot of good reception from either critics or players. I'm a long-term Worms fan. I played Worms on the PC. I played Worms Armageddon on the PC and Worms 2 and every Worms expansion
I
ever
did. And I have Worms in my poo.
I have that too. I have Worms in my poo part 2. I also played the Dreamcast version. I had the Game Boy version, the Game Boy Advance version. I had the PSP version. And I've had, I just love Worms. Is it become obvious yet?
I don't really care for Worms.
I love the Worms. And I play, and I also have it on my Xbox 360, Worms HD, which is a fine version, although a little stripped down.
Well, I want to say you've got a problem, man.
I do have a Worms problem. I do enjoy that game, though. It's one of my favorite games ever. And so the problem I've had lately, though, is they're all kind of derivative. They're not doing anything too new. The Worms 3D games, I also owned those, and they sucked. They were lousy, but the 2D games have always held up, but they've never really made the ultimate version. They leave things out of one version and then put them back in, but then take some other stuff out for the next one. And it's just kind of very frustrating. And the last handheld version I was really disappointed with because I couldn't really do any online play and it was just kind of bleh.
Yeah.
And this new one comes out and I start seeing, and I was not even going to get it. It was the first time I was going to abstain from the Worms. All right. These reviews come out and they're incredible. People are calling it one of the best games of the year. It's the ultimate version.
I'm sorry, I can't see that. Best game of the year, Worms. I'm sorry, I just can't
they
see
are.
It.
People are giving it great reviews and they're saying like this is like Mario Kart on the DS the way Mario Kart is in the sense that it's like
really?
The ultimate version. You know what I mean? Like it's got all the great things from the past, great online play, all these other options. Finally, a decent single player mode.
Then.
Yeah, you might have to try it. So the DS version, I've been dying to get it. And I got to tell you guys, they nailed it. I don't know what it is. There's something, you know, certain games get that certain, they just nail a certain feel to the thing.
Yeah.
Like they just nail it. And this game completely, totally nails it. And I cannot wait to hop online and kick some A because it's fun. If anyone out there has the game as well, get me your friend codes and let's go. Let's go time.
You know what we haven't talked about?
What? Your hairy back?
This is why, this is why we need our other podcast that we do. From time to time.
Do you remember the name?
No, the Final Countdown.
You can't remember the final score to save your
final
life.
Final score. Yes. Final score.
Yes.
Because the demo now is widely available for Quake Wars.
Oh, yeah. Quake Wars Enemy Territory is out.
Yeah.
Well, not the game, but the demo's out. Have you played it?
I have not downloaded it before the show.
Slacker, dude. You're supposed to be all hot on that game. You need to get on it and let us know how it is.
I know. I wasn't able to download it yesterday because I had all kind of problems with my MacBook, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah, let's never speak of it again.
Because we don't talk ill of Mac on the show.
Ever. We never speak ill of Mac. Steve Jobs is Lord and Master. I'm a big fan of that, or it's looking good to me. The 360 version, yep. I want to try. I got to tell you though, after I've been playing this this Metroid Prime 3 corruption game,
yeah,
I don't really want to use dual thumbsticks to play a first person shooter anymore. They just freaking changed my life with the way that you control that game. It's awesome. I haven't talked about it on the show yet, but it's incredible. Just blew my mind. I may have said it was cool last week, but the control on that is that's just what the Wii was meant to do. So if you could just hurry up and release some sort of motion sensing stick item, I would really appreciate that and make that backwards compatible.
They would get bashed so fast.
Yeah, they'd get, well, everyone will. And they're all going to do it. Yeah. They've all done it in the past. Why not? It's like the gamepad comes out and Atari goes, what? Nobody wants a giant stick with a red button on the side of it anymore? And they come out with the N64 and Sony and everybody else is like, what? Analog stick? What the crap is that thing? Now it's the standard. Now we're at that generational change again. Motion sensing is kind of the hot thing. And I think Sony's got some good ideas with their camera. The iToy 2 or whatever they're calling it. That thing's got some pretty powerful stuff.
The first one was cool.
Yeah, and the new one's even more like sensitive to different levels of motion and all this kind of cool stuff. That card game, I can't remember the name of it. Penny Arcade guys talk about it all the time. I have Judgment. I have Judgment. No. What's it called?
I don't know.
Damn it. Damn it.
That's what our panel of resident geeks are for over there in the chat room.
Resident geeks. Anyway, it's really good. What was I getting at? Oh, the point is, play Worms. Forget about all the other stuff we said.
Do it.
All right. Lastly, I don't know who you are, who's doing this, but I'm getting emails from somebody at scottsconscience@gmail.com, or excuse me, at hotmail.com, which makes it even worse because my conscience should not reside in Hotmail. Keep sending me emails to remind me to do things like don't forget to brush your teeth and wipe your bum.
That is funny.
All these weird things. And I get like one or two a day. I don't know who they're coming from, but please keep it up because I actually almost forgot to brush my teeth and wipe my bum.
Holy crap, how'd they know?
I almost brushed my bum and wiped my teeth. That's bad. Yeah. You don't want to be caught doing that.
No, you don't.
Anyway, so that's that. Brian, it's about it. This is it. We're done. 151 is done. I love that number, 151. 151.
I miss the O.
Yeah, I miss O too. I think we did okay though. Without O.
Oh, we did great.
I mean, not that we want to continue to do it without O, but we do miss him. We wanted him here. I don't know what happened. Something hopefully, nothing catastrophic, one hopes.
I hope not.
Hopefully it's just...
Probably just bad internet.
Yeah, bad internet. Bad internet.
Bad internet.
But either way, we will probably have him on next week. If you guys want to be a part of the show, you can surely do so. Hey, before I do that, let me give some thanks to some sponsors. Let me do that.
All right.
Big thanks to GoDaddy.com. I don't know if you guys knew this. Some of you do because you've done it, but many of you should do more. You can register a new domain using Life1 as your code, and that'll actually only make it so that domain costs $6.95 a year. It's cheap as hell.
Yeah,
you can use Life2 and Life3 for additional savings. You can also use Scott1. That gets you a SSL certificate for cheap. And if you're going to use hosting, use those guys. They're great. We love GoDaddy. Get your piece of the internet today and use GoDaddy.com. Thank you to YouBuyNow.com, where you get a 10% discount for using Extra Life as your code. Last week, I gave them a 15% discount, which was not correct, and that was just me screwing up. Natural, I don't know what's the word. What do you call that? Inflation of the mind or whatever? I screwed that up.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We'd also like to thank Depends Adult Diapers.
Yeah, because Brian's sitting there right now.
For making our show is much easier to record.
We can sit the whole hour. We don't have to pause or nothing. My colostomy bag is having some issues, though. Got a valve problem, I think.
Yeah.
Not sure. But for Brian and for I and for the missing O, thanks, everybody, for being here. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Thanks to Sebastian for our mashups. And by the way, Sebastian, you're welcome. He'll know what I mean. Thanks to Mark, who apparently is sending a review. Thanks to Rico for his extra nice work. Big thanks to Steven Schleicher this week, who did a segment you will hear here shortly, and he is awesome, and we like him in many ways that I can't describe. But most of all, thank you, the listener, for without you, 151 would not be here. 151, 151. So thanks, Brian, dude.
Thank you, man, dude.
Yeah, and I guess I'll see you next week, eh?
Yeah.
I'll see you before then. Thanks, everybody. Tell O, send an email to O and tell him to listen to the show. Maybe for once he'll actually listen to it because his voice isn't on it, and he claims that's the reason he doesn't listen.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
now right. He has no damned excuse. So there you go. So from everybody here to everyone there, have a great week. You ready for this? Hey, who's this? Who's calling us here?
Guess who? Darn it.
Dude, you're magic. How are you doing that? How are you beating everybody to the punch like that? You got some fancy phone that only the government knows about?
Nah, just a plain old singular one.
Dang.
Regular one.
That is freaking crazy talk. I do not know how you're doing it, but how are you, old man Franks? You keeping those kids out of your yard?
Keep trying to play golf, but I just throw papers at them till they go away.
Good man. Keep that up. All right, we're letting him go. All right, quick. Someone else beat old man Franks to it. Hi, you've called ELR. Who's this?
It's me, TJ. I got through.
You got through, dude. What's your name again? I couldn't hear it.
TJ.
Oh, TJ. Well, it's nice to have you here,
TJ.
Yeah, we like.
Hey, TJ.
We like the guys with the letters for the names.
Is this a TJ from DragonCon?
I'm from Oklahoma.
And now, wait, are you the TJ from DragonCon? Brian wants to know.
No.
Damn. I mean, that's okay. We like you anyway.
I don't go to cons outside states.
Oh, good man. Good man. Stay away from those places. Those people have cooties and stuff. Yeah. Do you have a question for us today, TJ? Do you have anything you'd like to ask? Just throw it out there.
In that annoying characters show you did like a little while ago, why didn't you talk about Wheatley from Transformers the movie?
Oh, who? Which one?
Wheatley.
Wheelie. I thought that guy was called something else. He's called Wheelie?
Yeah, we like me, Wheelie, we help Wheelie. They talk in rhymes.
Well, hang on, let's address that. Brian, do you know what the hell he's talking about?
What'd he say? I can't hear all of it.
Wheelie? There's somebody called Wheelie? Really?
From what?
Peely? Wheelie.
From what movie?
The one that in Transformers.
Oh yeah. Wheelie.
Willie? What's wrong with me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either, dude. Is he talking about the crazy little bastard one that ran around like a... Oh, in the old movie. Oh.
In the old movie.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, he wasn't that in that.
Are you sure he's not thinking about GoBots?
Hello, is this Vince?
Oh, snap. I got it again.
That's all right. You're getting a little feedback there, buddy.
Oh, here. Wait. Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Hey, is this Vince?
Yep.
This is the same. You're the one that's in charge of the WWE and all the wrestling stuff that you've been doing for decades?
I wish.
Vince McMahon? Yep. No? Different Vince. I got you. How's it going? What do you have for us today?
Nothing. Yeah.
Awesome. Guess what we have for you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, he's gone. One more. We got one more. One more. Hello, is this Vince again?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you called back.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? Then you did have something for us?
No, not really.
Okay, see ya. All right.
Scott Johnson hangs up on people.
Oh, that was awesome. All right, that'll do it for calls. Thanks, everybody.
Hello, ELR listeners, it's Steven Schleicher from Majorspoilers.com. One of the topics that constantly fill up my email box are recommendations for trade collections that readers should be picking up. This week, I've got an amazing series just for you. Fall is in the air, and that can only mean one thing. It's back to school time. But instead of the pushing and the shoving and the general awkwardness that is high school, what would happen if you discovered you had superpowers? If you happen to be Mark Grayson, you'd not only be excited, you'd be relieved that you can follow in your father's footsteps as a superhero. Invincible by Robert Kirkman with art by Corey Walker and Ryan Ottley follows Mark, the teenage son of Omni-Man, as he takes his first steps as a superhero and tries to balance his private life with that as the title character. Now, before you think this is another retelling of Spider-Man and Peter Parker, you might want to think again. The big shock comes at the end of issue 7 when everything he knew about his father turns out to be a lie. Omni-Man, Mark's father, isn't from a benevolent planet sent to help all mankind, but rather Viltrumite, a tyrannical world made of the most powerful beings in the universe, sent to Earth to take over the planet. As you might expect, there's a huge smackdown between father and son until Omni-Man suddenly flies off into space, leaving Mark to pick up the pieces of his life. He eventually teams up with other heroes, gets a girlfriend, travels into space, meets his father again, discovers he has a half-brother, helps to defend the planet from an attack from the Viltrumite homeworld, and discovers a secret that may help save the entire universe. What makes Invincible a must-read is it's really a lot of fun. Every character in the series is so well-written and thought out. Even the throwaway characters, like the Mahler twins, have an important part to play in the overall story. I also like the fact that thrown in throughout the series are nods to other superheroes and events from other companies, like Darkwing, who looks an awful lot like a certain Gotham vigilante, and Damian Darkblood, who might remind readers of a certain paranoid investigator from the series Watchmen. The writing from Kirkman is really top-notch. He really understands how to develop and write characters that readers can instantly identify with. The dialogue is witty and snappy and rarely drags. If I had one complaint about the series, it would be this. It does get to be a little 90210-ish in places, but I think that's unavoidable when you're talking about teenagers coping with new responsibilities, dating, hormones, and all the rest of that stuff. Invincible first burst on the scene in 2002 and is quickly closing in on issue number 50. And while it may seem like a lot to catch up on, Invincible is collected in 8 softcover trade paperbacks that go for about $11 each. But for your money and reading pleasure, get yourself the 3 Invincible Ultimate Collection hardcovers that sell for $23 each. You'll save yourself about $20 in the end. If you're looking for a trade collection to keep you busy and entertained, you can't go wrong with Invincible from Image Comics. For more comic news, reviews, and interviews, be sure to stop by MajorSpoilers.com, and I'll be back next time with another trade paperback recommendation that you should really check out.
Well, hello again, Extra Life Radio listeners. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with this week's review. This week I'd like to talk about a very cool science fiction series from the late 90s called Babylon 5. This show lasted for 5 seasons, basically a space saga, very similar to Star Trek's Deep Space Nine. It was about a space station called Babylon 5 out in deep space that a lot of different aliens would pass through, a lot of troubles would ensue. It starred Bruce Boxleitner, Claudia Christian was in it, Mira Ferlin, who is also on Lost these days, Tracy Scoggins was in it, Jerry Doyle, a guy named Richard Biggs, just a whole cast of great actors and characters on this show. If you're into space drama and sagas, kind of again like Deep Space Nine was for Star Trek, and you haven't ever watched Babylon 5, I urge you to check it out. It had some very cool special effects as well, a lot of computer-generated imagery and everything. And the other cool thing is it's all the seasons are on DVD on sale at Amazon right now for only $24 per season. You can't beat that. So this is Rico. Check out some Babylon 5 when you get a chance. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Fascinating.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark with your 3-minute movie review. Today's movie, we're going with the classics with Dr. Zhivago.
Now, from the most widely acclaimed novel of our generation, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents David Lean's film of Boris Pasternak's Dr. Zhivago. The spectacle of armies changing history. The epic of a grand romantic age giving way to a new and violent order. Young lovers. Far from the bitter guns of war. Alone and silent. This is Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago is supposed to be one of the classics of all time. It's one of the reasons why I watched it, trying to catch up on past classic movies, and it's based on one of the most widely acclaimed novels of all time, and it's considered one of the best love stories of all time. But here's something I don't understand. This is supposed to be he's a loving man with a loving wife, and his great love story is some harlot he meets. I mean, seriously, this is ridiculous that this is considered a great love story. He is a married man with children who all love him, and his wife is a very loving, caring person, and all he can do is pine after this blonde that lives in the next town. I mean, seriously, this movie cannot hold me or make me interested because of the fact of this. It's all about infidelity. It's all about, and it's not even getting away from a bad marriage or a bad person, although she is. Her husband's a complete loon, but he is not. He has a loving family around him, and he'd rather be with this woman. So it, you know, it follows the history of this doctor, Dr. Zhivago, from his early days in medicine all the way up till the end of his life. And it does kind of go over a little bit of the, it shows his life around the time of the Russian Revolution. So you see it turn from the aristocracy, which he technically is a part of, the upper class, and how it deteriorates as the revolution turns into be a complete nightmare, even for the people who wanted it to come about. So for that aspect, it's very, very interesting. But the fact that this guy is being completely unfaithful to his wife, not only that, but at one point she has to leave the country and he knows where she is and does nothing to follow her, even though she even says in her letter that their son is inconsolable when his name is even brought up, and he does nothing to go and be with them, but he stays with this woman. I just don't get it. And maybe the book explains it better, but in the movie, there's a complete disconnect for me. I'm sorry, there's no reason I would even suggest this to anybody else, purely on the base of, I can't believe this guy has no desire to be faithful or to be with his family when they have shown him nothing but love and support. So personal aspects aside, it's okay if you can put up with 3.5 hours, but I mean, I think I've given you enough of a premise to know that if going into it thinking that it's supposed to be this all-time great love story, I completely say that's bunk. That's it for this week. Talk to you later.
Happy 150th show, Extra Life. Here's a tribute to Brian.
I can't see anything. All I can see is gay. Darn it.
Hi, this is James from Nobody's Listening at NLCast.com. Scott, I just want to thank you again, dude. Thank you for doing the show with me last night. It was a blast. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, just anytime you can hear about a grown man's urine sample story, that's just a magical moment. So thanks for sharing it with me and about 1,000 other people. Talk to you later. I'll be on tonight checking you guys out in the chat room. See you then. Bye.
Hi, this is Minsk from Finland, and I have an important question for Obsidian. Obsidian, now that you are back from the United States in your tiki hut down in Colombia, tell us, how are the graphics in the U.S.? Okay, thanks. Bye.
Hey, Scott, this is Bongo Party from the forums. Want to wish you a happy 150th episode. That's a birthday. Okay. But congratulations on that. Keep up good work. And that's it.
Extra Life Radio. Oh, yeah.
Scott Johnson, Scott Fletcher, and Brian O. Scott, happy 150th. I can't believe you made it this far. In fact, I stopped listening about 80 episodes ago. I was surprised to find that you were still on. Love your show. Bye.
Scott Johnson and Scott Fletcher, I'm stuck in traffic, and I have three girls under the age of 7 years old all singing songs from High School Musical 2. And apparently traffic's not moving. So it's times like this that I really love my children, and I wonder if my life could just end a little sooner. They're great. I love them to death. And they sing okay for being 7 and all. But I blame it mostly on the songwriting and the lyricists. So God bless Disney, and take care, Extra Life.
Hi, this is Brandon Matthews. I do the voice for Old Man Franks for Extra Life Radio, and I have a message for Scott Johnson. You put chicken in butt. Thank you.
Howdy, Scott. Tennessee Taylor here, and I thought I'd add that it ain't a Southern thing, and I'd have Hot Topic. The greatest state in the union is Tennessee, and we're in the South, so you know what, you Yankees can just go boil your bums or some shit like that. Anyway, we have a hot topic. We have lots of hot topics here in Tennessee, so it might just be a Carolina thing. Now, folks on the coast are a little bit, you know, so it might be them, but it sure ain't the South. Thought I'd clarify that for you. Looking forward to the next show. Yeah!
Hey, this is NXC,
just congratulating you on 150 episodes of Extra Life Radio. See ya.
As per normal. I don't think my levels are right. As per normal.